So as you guys, as he introduces you guys, or introduces himself to you guys, he goes, I didn't mean that in like a threatening kind of way. I just meant it as in, if you guys don't help me, we could lose this town. We could lose the world. Some shit's going down, and it's bigger than you think it is.
Well, wait a second.
Me and Alan are still like the only ones that are talking to him right now.
Yeah, it's you and Alan. Scott, you're not really here for this, but we'll get there.
Yep.
And he starts walking, you know, towards a what you think is like a clearing in the woods, and do you follow him? I'm assuming you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
you can't just drop that shit on us like that.
He goes to the clearing in the woods, and you see a cabin, just like a log cabin. And it's in pretty decent condition. Like, it's nothing extravagant. Like, it was definitely something that he probably built. And he walks into the cabin, and he starts rummaging around looking for something. And he seems pretty frantic when he does it.
All right. Sorry. I still got a little. I'm waiting for my coffee to kick in a little bit, but
you're good.
I go to him and I'm like, hey. Let me see your hands a little bit, man.
And he shows you his hands. You
making
notice
sure that.
That
he's not like he's like grabbing any. I'm basically trying to make sure that he's not like, you know, kind of pull the attack on us first, kind of.
Oh no. He's looking for something, not to like hurt you guys, but looking for something as I would say what's the word I'm looking for? He's looking for something to help, and he opens up this a drawer. He opens a drawer, nothing's in there, and then he looks in a chest and he pulls out this like composition book, and he starts flipping through the pages, and he's like, can I trust you guys?
Yeah. I don't know if you, that's where we're in the middle of the night at the lake.
So
yeah, no, you could trust us. How do we know we could trust you?
And he's been in his human form this whole time, by the way, and he's like, because I'm kind of the only ally you've got in this sort of situation that we've got going on here. And he pulls out the book, he starts flipping through it, and he's like, so here's what I think we're up against. And let's just say that, Trini, you also followed them in there just for, like, you saw them walk away and you noticed the werewolf guy and,
to follow him on a...
Yeah, because you're like, who's this guy they found in the... Well, maybe you didn't see his werewolf form, but you definitely saw, like, a guy who looked like a park ranger.
Is that Tim Allen?
Yeah, right? You were like, is that Tim Allen? And...
yeah, the noise you made. I was trying to find a good end for that joke.
And
he knows stretched out it is.
And
every time Bosco's in scene, just make that, just post that, please.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
So so Doc Bosco, he introduces himself. You didn't see his werewolf form. He's looking through the book, and he's like, I think I know what you guys are up against, and I have to pull up a picture, so give me a second.
By the way,
Is it this one?
Yeah, that's the book.
Neat.
The most important part.
It's a good thing I didn't belch earlier while I was, as I'm on push to talk, so I had a secret burp, and you'll never know where it
secret burp. So the whole time, though, like, I'm kind of just kind of dumbfounded because I kind of had a feeling that there was, like, weird cryptid things around, and I saw this guy.
Do they know that I'm there? I went with them, or did I, like...
Yeah. They see you there, and he's, like, he's frantically looking through this notebook, flipping through, and he pulls out a drawing that looks kind of like that.
God. A friend.
Ooh.
And he goes, so I need to tell you guys something. And he goes...
Yeah.
He goes, my name's Doc, as you guys know. And he takes off his hat and he starts transforming into his werewolf form. And he's like...
I fucking knew it.
He's like, there's a war going on. And I've been trying to keep it quiet for years, you know. It's been hard, but because it's just been me for the past couple years. I used to have a team, but they're gone. And some of them died. The other ones, we need to give it to them.
Jesus Christ!
What was that?
That was the.
I had to shut my window. Sorry.
And he says,
that was a creature. Okay.
He says, Doc Bosco says, there's a, like I said, there's a war. I'm trying to get myself caught up. And he says, I'm from another world. But that's not really important right now. But right now I need your help. After we get done with this, you know, then I'll spill some more beans about what's going on.
You shouldn't have spilled your beans.
So he's
Spill your spleen.
I'm spilling my spleen. And he starts flipping through the journal, and he's like, the only thing that I know about this thing, it's called a Grindylow. And it's from my world, and these things are extremely carnivorous, and they will eat anyone that dares to come into their waters.
Extremely carnivorous.
And you guys, you know what happened to that young girl at the lake. I mean, you saw her, right?
Yeah, what was left of her, and a lot of cops.
Yeah, this, he nods at you, and he says, these things, they drown their victims, and they plant eggs in them.
Like in The Sims.
And...
What?
And he just starts looking through the journal, trying to find an explanation for, you know, how it got through, how it came to this world, why it's here, and the only answer he finds is that these things don't like electricity. They don't like getting, like, shocked or anything like that. Much like everything doesn't like getting shocked. Pokemon rules. This seems to have, like, a pretty hard weakness against it. And, he says, we got a war, and we need to prepare. And I'm going to go ahead and cut to Scott. You're asleep.
Yep.
So you're laying in your bed, and, you know, what's going through your head as you're laying there?
I've seen a lot of crap today, and I've been laying here for, like, 3 hours trying to fall asleep, and it's just not working. I'm getting restless, so I guess I get up and do something to keep my mind busy.
So you do something to keep your mind busy, and you eventually fall asleep.
Okay.
And you don't really have very vivid dreams, but tonight it seems to be especially vivid.
Okay.
And you know how I made you roll that dice earlier this week?
Oh, good lord, yeah.
This is where it comes in.
Oh, I saw that roll.
Hi. I was wondering what that was. That's awesome.
The dream that you have is you see a large oak tree, and you're walking up to it, and as you walk up to it, you see a blue light in the sky, and as that blue light, as you look up at it, it seems to get, you know, closer. And as you get closer, you see that it is a blue bolt of electricity, and it falls down through the tree, strikes the tree, lights it on fire, and it ends up arcing to you. And you wake up. As soon as you feel this electricity go through your body, you jump awake, and it's early in the morning. I'd say probably about 6 o'clock in the morning. And also in that dream, you saw like a group of people at the bottom of this hill that the tree sat on. Mm-hmm. And you know, you notice there's a girl, there's two guys, and a very large gentleman with a cowboy hat.
He looks familiar.
So, you remember, because, you know, you frequent the state park, as you said. You recognize him as one of the park rangers at the station.
Right.
And, I'd say you go ahead and you want to know more about it. I mean, go down to the state park, find out what's there.
Yeah, so I've seen this place before, and the tree, and I really do not have dreams, like, at all. Usually it's like blink sleep, like my head hits the pillow, I wake up, and yeah, exactly, no, I have no dreams at all. So I immediately am kind of, I guess, encouraged by this, or like, I'm super curious, like, why the heck did I have this dream about this place that's familiar? So I'm gonna go there. Yeah, today's my off day too, so got nothing else to do.
Even better. So as you're heading down, you know, you just you go to the state park. There's still some police there. The cost or the police tape is still there. Right. And like you said, you recognize the location, and you go out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say that Doc leads, you know, the rest of the gang, the mystery crew, or whatever you're going to call yourselves.
Mystery crew.
And you know, as you get there, you see Doc and Frank and Trini and Alan come out of this cabin that you don't think you've ever seen before, in the many, many times you've been there. Huh. And Doc turns around and he says, and who's this one?
Good question.
I'm Scott.
Looks like Silent Bob.
It's like a Scott.
That's like, I get that a lot.
You look like a Scott to a T.
Yeah, Scotch tape over here.
Doc high fives you for that sick burn of Scotch tape.
Yeah.
And, and he goes, he's like, I need to show you guys something. I guess, Scott, if you want to come with, if you're ready for this sort of thing.
Ready for what sort of thing?
I grab Doc Bosco's hat and take it off.
And he turns into a werewolf in the middle of the day, or in the middle of the broad daylight. Ah!
I point at him and go, this sort of thing.
And he snatches the hat out of your hand. He's like, don't you ever fucking do that again.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, like that snatches sort of thing. Snatches it out of his hand with his claws.
This sort of thing. We had a long night. That's what I'll tell you.
Oh, okay. I'm guessing I'm past the point of return here. Like, if I tell anybody about this, you're going to kill me. So I'll just go with you guys, I guess.
Good idea. So he takes you out to a, I would say it's like a couple miles that you're trekking through the woods, and he comes across a clearing full of clearings that people don't know are there, apparently. And he says, so you see this tree? This tree's been, not really hiding something. And he says, I know you guys probably can't see it right now, but there's a big archway, made out of, you know, cobbled stone. And as soon as you see it in front of the tree, or as soon as he says that, in front of the tree, it appears. This huge...
Whoa, what the fuck?
This huge, I'd say, like, 10 feet tall, Borderlands-looking archway.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is it significant if this tree is on fire at any point in time?
Not really. It'll be fine.
I'm asking this to Doc.
Hey, where's Roger? Yeah.
Oh, Roger is... I'd say he's asleep in the cabin.
Yeah, he had a hard couple of days.
Let the dude rest.
Yeah.
And he said... that tree catching on fire, that's a pretty specific question. Why are you an arsonist or something?
Well, the reason I came out here is because I saw the tree on fire. And I don't dream. That's not normal for me. I come out here a lot, but I've never seen anything like that in a dream or anything. So
and
that's why I came out here.
He's just brushes it off like it's nothing, and he says, this gateway is what a creature came through. It's called a Grindelo, by the way, Scott. You missed it. I got a pretty drawing of it if you want to see it later.
I'm good.
And yep. He says, this is the gateway to go to my home planet that I am, I can't.
So you're an alien werewolf.
Basically, yeah, but we're more human than you think. We're pretty civilized over there. And he goes, the portal only opens every 3 months or so. So, you know, we don't have much time till the next one. So we gotta nip this in the bud right away, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Wait,
are we
second.
On drugs right now?
Yeah, is this shit happening?
That would.
This feels like drugs. Like,
yeah. I just wanted to have a good time at the lake.
What were you saying, Lindsay?
Yeah, well, so did Emily.
Oof.
Big oof. Fat
too soon.
I'm sorry. Who are you?
My name is Trini. I'm friends with Emily.
I'm Alan. I'm not from here. I don't know anyone. I'm sorry.
Well, it's nice
well,
to meet you,
go ahead.
Alan.
Yeah, go you ahead and introduce yourselves, I guess.
one more time, what's the name of that fish thing?
Grindelo. I'll type it in chat. It's a Grindelo.
Grindelo.
It's a gremlin.
Said.
A
gremlin. That they...
Grindelo.
Cool, nice. He said that they kill things and lay their eggs in them.
Yep.
Is that what happened to Emily?
I can only assume. I haven't really seen the body up close.
It sounds like we got an alien situation.
Well, we have to
alien...
get to her before anything happens. How long does it take for those things to hatch?
It takes, I'd say, I think about a week, but this is the first one I've actually seen. This is just a journal from my planet that I found. So we should really probably get to that.
You guys have seen the movie Alien, right?
Oh, duh.
Yeah, of course I've seen that. Of course.
What, you think just because I'm a millennial, I don't know what Alien is?
Of course I've seen that, and he looks, like, down to the ground. He's like, of course I've seen Alien. Alien with,
Sigourney Weaver.
Sigourney Weaver.
Tim Allen as the alien. Tim Alien.
Can you imagine if he just popped out and made that sound?
Yeah. That's... Can someone please Photoshop Tim Allen?
That'll open like, open the podcast.
Yeah. I got a good picture that you could use for reference.
Whatever audio file I pump out with this. Yeah, that'll be the visual reference.
He's gonna vomit.
Beautiful. And he just
classic trailer.
Classic trailer.
Fucking classic. That trailer is classic.
Gotta
go. Sorry.
Work, guys, we gotta get through this.
Okay. As he's explaining all this to you, and he's like, we gotta find out where we can find something to get rid of this being. If we get rid of it, then the eggs can't get nutrients from the mother, so we may be able to just get two birds stoned at once and get them both knocked out.
Did you say two birds stoned at once?
Yeah.
Okay, you really aren't from this world.
He's from the trailer park.
Yeah, from the trailer park.
Makes as much sense as anything else does that you've told us so far.
At this moment, yes.
Okay, well, we've got a lot of work to do, guys, so we should all split up and look for clues. Alright, gang, we should split up and look for clues.
I'll be Shaggy since I have the dog.
Yeah, how does Iggy feel about,
Iggy, I feel like...
Doc and his wolf.
I think every time he turns into the wolf thing, he gets really confused and... But at the same time, he recognizes that it's a dog thing, and he kind of wants to go and smell his butt.
Hee hee.
I just realized I'm Scrappy.
Yeah, I feel like every time Doc turns into the Wolfman, Iggy like thinks of him as like a dog brother.
Dog brother.
If you call him my dog brother. All right, and and Doc Bosco, he says, "All right, let's split up for clues, gang, and let's see if we can find some way to get rid of this thing." And so yeah, that's what you do. Where are y'all going?
Who are we splitting up with? We gotta like figure out a good.
I'd say Scott and Doc stay together. Because, okay. You know, he's still trying to, like, explain stuff to him.
Yeah. All right.
Frank, I mean, I think you'd go check on Roger, but that's all.
Yeah, if you want. And I feel like I feel like I would, and if I was to go, yeah, I feel like I would just go check on Roger. I mean, unless Alan wants to come, or Alan could go with Trini or something.
Hey.
He's, like, the youngest out of all of us, right?
I believe so.
Hey,
like someone should go with her for sure.
Hey, I don't mean to, you know, I want to apologize for earlier. You know, I was saying some really insensitive things, and you know, I'm not from around here. I thought it looked like a nice lake, but it obviously, you know, there's something wrong with it. And if you need anybody, you know, if you need to talk to anybody, and you need somebody to split up and search for clues with, I think I'm here to help, so use me.
Yeah, shut up, let's go.
So all three of us here to go check on Roger, and I look at Alan and say, look dude, there's bigger things right now. Let's not focus on that part. You're obviously with us now.
Bigger things. I have a full-on erection, so.
All right, actually, you stay here.
Hell yeah.
And I'll...
It's time-stamped to the part where he says, scrote.
All right, but yeah. And as you are all walking down the hill, you know, it's Alan and Frank next to each other, and Trini down there, and Doc Bosco at the foot of the hill. And Scott, this looks all too familiar to you.
Yeah, this is feeling like deja vu.
So, you turn around and you look up into the sky, and you see that blue light that was in your...
Okay. This is fine.
What's going on, Scotch Tape?
Do you see that
how
up there?
How far away are we from Scott right now?
I'd say you're a good distance away at this point.
Oh, okay.
Scott
Sorry.
Noticed it and just froze in his tracks.
Got it. What's going on with Scott, do you think?
Doc, do you see that?
No one can hear you. They're down the hill.
Scott,
and
Doc's with Scott, right?
I thought you said Doc.
Doc walked down there with you guys, and then he didn't notice. Scott, I guess, didn't notice him or something. And here we go, monologue time. A storm is brewing in only your immediate area. A swirling vortex appears above your head. Suddenly, a blue bolt of lightning strikes down from the open maw of the sky. It hits the tree. You feel your body tense up, electricity surging through your body. The intense pain forces you onto your knees. You scream out in pain to your friends, but the ear-shattering thunder prevents them from hearing your cries for help. A blue four-armed figure appears in front of you. Scott Phillips, it is your time. Rise. Rise against the creatures of the Quill. You are the wall against which the darkness breaks. Let them come in their thousands, and all will perish at your feet. Rise, Scott Phillips. Chosen. You feel the blue figure lift you onto your feet. You reach skywards into the bolt. You feel something in your hand. Now draw your blade, Scott. You pull downwards out of the lightning bolt. A shard of obsidian humming with blue energy appears in your hand. Meet Peacemaker. The Sylvans call it the Fang of Algoro, named after the mountain giant it was forged from. And the eye on this sword on the hilt, it opens up. And you hear a voice. That's your kiss. That's you. Remember, you said you were going to do the voice of your sword.
What was the voice I said I was going to do?
Did it sound like this?
What was I going to do?
You said...
the blade of a voice?
Yeah.
Okay, so you said, real quick, you said blue four-armed creature. Does that mean it is a creature that is blue and has four arms, or it's just like a regular-looking dude, but his forearms are blue?
It's like a Machamp. It's like a four-armed creature, and it's just blue. It has no distinctive like features or anything like that. It's just a figure.
Dr. Manhattan.
Okay, so it's not just like a dude with blue forearms.
I remember
that. No. Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah.
What's the voice say?
Hello, Mr. Scott. hi. I'm here to make your day.
Okay. Does this just talk to me? Is that normal? It's also, the eye is really creepy, by the way.
And everyone turns around and like they're watching this happen, and they see you like anime pull this black obsidian shard sword out of the sheath that is lightning out of
very
the sky.
Power Rangers-esque.
Yeah, very. I needed in my head to be anime as hell. Mm-hmm. That's why I needed to do it, and Doc Bosco, he looks at you in just shock, and he's like, what the hell is going on in this town?